Washington, Monday, January 19th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, Inauguration Eve, just one day before Barack Obama is sworn in as the 44th President of the United States, we'll talk about this year's inauguration and the inauguration process in general with Rich Galen, who is a member of the Presidential Inauguration Committee in both 2001 and 2005. How does the price tag of this year's celebration compare with recent inauguration celebrations? Just how chaotic is it to put together this celebration and an incoming administration in just over 2 months since Election Day? And how important is the message from the new president in his inaugural address? Also in this edition of Dateline Washington, the imprisoned border agents are free. Jose Compeon and Ignacio Ramos have their sentences commuted by President Bush on his final full day as president. We'll talk about the significance of that decision with Dr. Jerome Corsi, who has been reporting on this story for years at WorldNetDaily.com. Plus, Middle East ceasefire. We'll talk with David Gardenstein-Ross of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies about the unilateral ceasefires declared by Israel and Hamas. And honoring Dr. King. We'll reflect on the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who this month would be celebrating his 80th birthday. All that, plus the day's top stories, follows our inside look at the inauguration, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is Rich Galen, author of the three times a week internet column, Mullings.com. Rich has also worked for such political luminaries as former Vice President Dan Quayle and former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. In 2001 and 2005, he was a member of the Presidential Inauguration Committee. And today we want to get his thoughts on what goes into planning such a massive celebration as an inauguration and what he makes of all the hoopla for the inauguration set for tomorrow for Barack Obama. And Rich, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for having me back.
Well, right now we're hearing that the price tag is looking at about $170 million, and only 1.4 of that is on the actual inauguration ceremony. Just how much did your committee have to work with, and how does it compare to this year?
I don't remember the numbers, but I can guarantee you it was a lot less, because if we'd gotten over $100 million, there would have been editorials in every major newspaper on each coast demanding that we give that money to the poor, to the infirm, to the foreign, to everybody else. But because this happens to be the inauguration of Barack Obama, Democrat, it's all okay.
And there was even concern about the 2005 inaugural, despite the fact that it was quite a bit less. Folks talking about how the economy wasn't all that solid back in 2005. Obviously, it's far less solid this year. What do you make of the lack of concern about the price tag this year?
Astonishing lack of any kind of reality. I was talking to the woman who is the chair of a chairman of the 05 inauguration, a woman named Ambassador Jean Johnson Phillips, just the other night about this exact thing, and she was reminding me that we needed to put jumbotrons on the mall for people that wanted to watch the swearing-in or watch the Lincoln Memorial activity that occurred 4 years ago and couldn't get close enough. And she was very concerned about the price tag, which was pretty hefty. It was about $300,000 or $400,000, and she said, "You know, I just want to make sure that everybody understands that we're doing this." And she was assured. Well, sure enough, she called and said, "You know, I'm watching CNN or Fox or one of those," and she said, "They're saying this is the first time they've ever had jumbotrons on the mall." So we did what we were supposed to do. We made it available to everybody. We just did it for probably a third of the cost.
Rich, how would you describe the 2 months, maybe 2.5 months, between Election Day and Inauguration Day in terms of how much needs to get done, where the energy is focused? How does it all get organized?
Yeah, it's really amazing that it ever happens. You know, the original swearing-in for a president was in March, March 4th, actually, according to the original Constitution, and that's because that's the date that the Constitution became effective back in 1789. And it wasn't until much later in the 20th century that they moved it forward to January 20th, because what's called the interregnum between Election Day and March was so long, and travel had improved so much that it just didn't make any sense anymore. But now you have to go pretty much flat out. We forget that in the election of 2000, that election was not decided by the Supreme Court and the 500 and whatever was 37 votes in Florida until well into December. So for that inauguration, we had, I think it was 31 or 29 days to put the whole thing together. And, as you point out, the administration had that amount of time to do the transition, as opposed to this transition where President Bush, through through the Chief of Staff, Josh Bolton, passed the word throughout every department and agency in the administration that they wanted a full, complete, accurate, and usable transition plan by, I think it was October 1st or October 10th last year, so that whoever won would be able to walk in, pick up the binders, and begin the transition flawlessly. And even the most ardent anti-Bush Democrat has had to even grudgingly say that this transition has probably been the smoothest in the history of the United States.
What is the key to a good transition? Is it just the binders and making sure everybody knows what the latest developments are on all the key policies, or is there kind of an attitude that's very important there, too?
You're exactly on point. You can remember that the stories were, and they've been disputed since, but I tend to believe they were true, that when the Bush team walked into the White House on January 20th, 2001, that all the W keys had been removed from the keyboards of the computers. Okay, that's a good prank. That doesn't hurt anything. But there have been reports and occasions of things like telephone wires being cut and computer lines being cut. And I'm not sure this is only one party or the other party. I think this sort of thing has happened in the past. But because of the kind of person George W. Bush is, that there is we'll know tomorrow afternoon. But my sense is that there will have been no even frat house type vandalism that has taken place. Moreover, that the Bush people have sat side by side with the incoming Obama people to make sure in these extraordinarily dangerous times that no foreign power thinks that somehow they can make use of a transition period between the time that the Bush people leave and the Obama people actually get up to speed.
We're talking with Rich Galen, internet online columnist at Mullings.com. He's worked for folks like Dan Quayle and Newt Gingrich, and in 2001, 2005, a member of the Presidential Inaugural Committee. And Rich, we've talked about the trappings and the money spent and all the different parts of the inauguration celebration. Where's the balance between obviously celebrating a great aspect of the American system and the peaceful transition of power to potentially going way over the top has been the accusation not only this year but in years past as well?
Yeah, I think this may be the top of that curve. I think we're going to see this kind of back off. I live in Alexandria, Virginia, which is just south of the Capitol and on the other side of the Potomac River, and we are effectively in administrative lockdown starting at about 9 o'clock tonight. We virtually cannot get out of the city north at all. We can't travel across any bridge that leads into Washington, D.C. And somebody just told me that every truck coming east on Route 50, which is a major highway coming into the city from the west, every truck is being stopped and searched. You know, I think at some point people are going to say, you know what, maybe what we ought to do is have the swearing-in inside the rotunda, as Ronald Reagan did in his second inaugural, in that case because it was so cold, invite a couple of hundred people, have a couple of parties, and everybody get back to work, as opposed to making this, the $100 million that you're talking about is just the amount that is being spent by the inaugural committee. The city of Alexandria, the county of Arlington, Montgomery County, Maryland, and the District of Columbia are also spending tens of millions of dollars that these cities just don't have to be able to provide the level of security that the Secret Service is demanding.
Rich, in terms of the actual message that we'll be hearing tomorrow, many people obviously highly anticipating the speech from Obama. Your work in politics is largely centered on communications over the years, and there have obviously been some very famous inauguration speeches. Lincoln's second, Reagan's first, FDR's first, Kennedy's have all been well documented over the years. What makes for a great inauguration speech, and can it really set the tone for the next 4 years?
I think it sets the tone for the first 100 days, not for 4 years, because people quickly forget. But, you know, you can go back to George W. Bush's first inaugural speech, and that was held in very high regard by a lot of people. But Obama has the gift of communication, and that's hugely important in a president. You're the president of 300 million plus people of all differing stripes and talents and economic levels. So I think what people, the mistake people make is they make a mistake thinking this is going to be a State of the Union address where the president will lay out specific guidelines in terms of legislative priorities. But that's not what an inaugural address is. The good, really, really great inaugural addresses are speeches that really appeal to Americans' higher nature, and Americans have a very high nature. So if you can tap into that, and I suspect Obama will, this will be a very good speech.
And in our last 90 seconds here, Rich, what do you make of, we talked earlier about how well the outgoing Bush administration has treated the incoming Obama administration. What do you make of some of the decisions the Obama team has made? You're obviously a conservative, and some on the right have been pleasantly surprised by what they see as moderate voices in terms of the national security team and so forth, and backing off on how soon places like Guantanamo might get closed and so forth. What have you seen that encourages you or worries you about this new administration?
No, I think everybody ought to be encouraged by it. I think that that Obama has proven, in spite of my misgivings, amongst others in the campaign, that he has the understanding and depth of understanding that this is a very dangerous time, and this is no time to let ideology control what goes on. This is a time to have people who actually know how to do the things you're asking them to do, and then then later on as you move through, you can make other adjustments. But for right now, I think for a conservative Republican, a fair-minded person has to look at the selection of almost everybody and say, you know what, pretty good.
Well, the real heavy lifting officially begins after all the partying on Tuesday. Rich, thank you so much for your time today and your insight.
Thank you, my friend.
Rich Galen is the author of Mullings.com, an internet column that appears three times weekly. He's also worked for political figures such as Dan Quayle and Newt Gingrich. And Rich Galen was also a member of the 2001 and 2005 presidential inauguration committees. This is Dateline Washington.